Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Resetting the top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And for us right now, boils down to two top stories of the day. Starting with ASU basketball tonight as they take on St. John's, the play-in game, a matchup of 11 seeds for the right to take on Buffalo in what is being called the second round of the tournament. I consider it to be the first round of the tournament. 6:10 first pitch. You're going to hear that game right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station tonight.
It's not first pitch, but it's...
Did I say first pitch?
It's not first pitch. I know you're waiting for the baseball season.
We were just talking
about the fact that Seattle Mariners got the opener in Tokyo.
First pitch.
First pitch was last night while you were sleeping.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Seattle played the Oakland A's and beat them, and Ichiro got into the game. I don't think he got a hit. I think he had a walk, and he made it out. So no first pitch tonight, but first tip.
Tip off
tonight. ASU against St. John's. The winner gets Buffalo on Friday. Feel good about ASU's chances because I know St. John's very well, and I just, as much as I like them, I don't think they're very good. But with that being said, ASU has had its struggles this year, too. But that game is on True TV if you're looking for it tonight.
Shooting consistencies have been an issue for ASU. They should dominate tonight on the glass. They're going to need to dominate on the glass to avoid giving up second-chance opportunities for St. John's and then create their own second-chance opportunities in case they're not shooting well. And someone's got to get hot from the outside for them. I don't know if it's Cherry. I don't know if it's Edwards. Somebody has got to get hot for ASU tonight.
So you think it's Edwards?
I think Edwards. I think when he plays well, ASU usually does very well. I think, to me, he's kind of a key guy because he really opens things up offensively for them. Again, you'll hear the game here, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Tip off is at about 6:10 or so. Meanwhile, other top story of the day centers around the continued swirling speculation about Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen. More mock drafts coming out suggesting it's going to be Kyler Murray number one. More suggestions about who the Cardinals could trade Rosen to, what they could get in return, what teams they should be looking at in possibly dealing Rosen. The whole thing has taken on this tone of inevitability. Like, it's going to happen. And I don't know if it deserves to be there yet, but doesn't it feel like in some ways with every story you read...
it's inevitable?
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
It's got this tone, and it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that inevitable, but it feels like it's getting there with each passing story,
You know what I don't like? We talked about, you know, the Giants getting Haskins, the Giants getting Rosen. Maybe a team moving up to six to get three to get Haskins. How come we haven't heard about any teams that love Murray besides the Cardinals? How come we haven't heard from one team? How come there's no, this team wants Murray and they'll do whatever it takes to get him? Why haven't we heard that?
Okay.
It's the one thing, it's the piece that's missing because it's the piece that allows you to make a blockbuster trade, keep Rosen, and the fan base will be like, oh, okay, you couldn't pass up two firsts, two seconds, and two thirds. For you keep Rosen and you just got seven draft picks? Yeah, okay. I have not seen, heard from anyone else that there is another team that is enamored with Kyler Murray.
That is a great point. And the only answer I have for you, and I don't even know if it's the right answer, but the only answer I have for you is because all the other teams that you could put on a list that might need a quarterback or want a quarterback in this year's draft, that from a fit standpoint, none of them even come close to the Arizona Cardinals in terms of fit. And that is all about Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's all the other – Washington, Miami, Denver, New York, Oakland, if you want to throw the Raiders in there. I mean, all these teams that we talk about needing quarterbacks of the future, trying to find their long-term answer, none of them can even hold a candle up to the Arizona Cardinals – in terms of fit, style, the kind of offense they want to run. I mean, that's what's fueling this speculation in part more than anything. It's not so much the comments that Kingsbury made back when he was the head coach at Texas Tech. I mean, those are amusing, but they're almost irrelevant. It's about the fit. It's about the style Kingsbury wants to run when he gets here.
Can he not run? Can he only play that for Cliff Kingsbury?
Can he
not play quarterback for any other team in the NFL?
He can, but I don't know if other teams would be willing to sacrifice what it would take to get him, knowing they'd have to alter some of what they do.
But I don't think anybody's moving up to one to take Haskins. I don't know that anybody's moving up tonight. I said the Raiders maybe for Bosa because they need a pass rusher desperately. That's a small possibility from something that I've heard before in my conversations with people. But I don't have the connection with any other team besides the Cardinals and Murray.
Yeah.
And I think that scares me a little bit, because I want the blockbuster trade. You want the blockbuster trade, but it takes two to tango. Is there any other team that looks at Murray the way apparently the Cardinals are looking at Murray with googly eyes?
I was going to bring this up for tomorrow's show because I saw the story very late today. Pro Football Focus, our love-hate relationship with them, wrote a big, long story today about, look, last year we told you Baker Mayfield was the best player available in the draft, and we were right.
I saw that.
This year we're Kyler Murray is the best player available in this draft.
And they're going to be right 2 years in a row?
Regardless of position, regardless of everything, just the highest graded player we have available in this draft, his name is Kyler Murray. And not that I'm saying that to make you feel better about, well, where are the other teams? Where's the clamor to come up and get Kyler Murray? Are the Cardinals putting too many eggs in the basket of Kyler Murray? I don't know where the teams are. I don't know where the offers are. So far, this whole thing has been clouded by a giant mass of smoke. It's hard to see through it, right? There's a lot out there, and we don't know what the truth is. We don't know what's going to happen, but there haven't been so far a lot of rumors. Let me ask you this, because this is the story I saw that intrigued you earlier today. This came from Jason LaConfora, who wrote today, the Cardinals might as well start the full-scale shopping of Josh Rosen. Their best bet may be a team that has an aging starter in need of a potential heir. You know, a team like the Saints or the Patriots or the Giants or something like that. He then concluded his comments on Rosen by saying the Cardinals need to, quote, do right by Rosen and get him to his new home sooner rather than later. Do the Cardinals owe it to Josh Rosen to move him sooner in the process to end his misery if he's indeed going through it?
You know the answer to that.
Of course I do.
The answer is the Cardinals don't owe Josh Rosen anything. They've already given the kid like $11 million. I mean, they don't owe him anything. It's a business. So, you know, it's a real world. You got to wake up. It's a business. You could be traded. Now, this is unusual, and it's unlikely that we'll ever see this happen again in our lifetime, where a team would, if they do this, take Kyler Murray, where we see back-to-back years, top 10 picks on a quarterback by the same team. They don't owe him anything. They owe it to themselves to make the best deal they can. They don't owe it to Josh Rosen. Oh, I'm gonna do what's right by you and trade you now so you can get settled and situated and get a play. No, you know what? If it takes up until draft day, it takes up until draft day. You got to play this to get the best deal for you, for Rosen. You have to. You have to get the best deal. You don't owe Josh Rosen anything. Guy's been here for a cup of coffee.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? If you subscribe right now on your iPhone, your Android, you'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. For the second consecutive year, ASU is trying to move on beyond the first four game, and the outcome might be decided by one single matchup. We'll tell you which one you need to watch next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadero, Dave Burns, live from the AT&T store in the Tempe Marketplace. We'll be here for a couple more hours on this Wednesday afternoon. AT&T, proud sponsor of Tony La Russa's Dinner of Champions for his Animal Rescue Foundation. People rescuing animals, animals rescuing people. Tony La Russa, this has been his project for years and years and years. ARF, if you want to donate, you can text ARF to 620-620. They have placed more than 600 animals with military families, a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder families from the military who have had to deal with those issues, and the dogs are a big, big help. 45 service dogs just in the last year alone. It's a tremendous, tremendous outpouring and work done by Tony La Russa's group, the Animal Rescue Foundation, and AT&T is a big part of it. That's a big reason why we're here today. AT&T store, Tempe Marketplace. We'll be here until later this afternoon. You come by and say hi and support this great cause again by texting ARF to 620-620. Tonight, you're going to hear ASU versus St. John's. We're all hoping that we'll get good news and that ASU will move on. And sometime Friday afternoon, we'll take on Buffalo in a matchup of Bobby Hurley going up against his former team, a team that has gone to the tournament, what, 3 of the last 4 years, I think, in Buffalo. But first things first, you got to beat St. John's. How do they beat St. John's tonight?
rebound the basketball, which St. John's doesn't do. Find a way to, you know, contain Shamari Ponds. Don't let him go off for 25 and 8 assists. And, you know, don't let them, you know, St. John's has to win by getting out in transition. They have no size, knocking down threes. That's how St. John's is going to win, and having a great game by Ponds. Ponds doesn't play great. They, you know, their chances to win are very diminished. They're a difficult team to figure out. They've had some really big wins, right? Two over Marquette. They beat Villanova. But they've had some bad losses. I got swept by DePaul. DePaul's terrible. Just ask Tim Ring. So this is a team.
He did respond to you on Twitter, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think you tweeted out that picture of you in your St. John's jersey, and he said something like, "Yeah, they
DePaul lost to
beat
DePaul.
Them twice. They stink."
Yeah, DePaul hasn't been good since like that Myers guy with it was there. I spoke with ASU today. Remy Martin's going to go. He's not 100%, but they feel good about him. They've got a huge advantage because of the size of the bodies they have, and they're going to probably put Dort on Ponds, but they're going to mix it up a little bit too. Maybe show a little bit of zone just to confuse them. So they'll do things, you know, they'll try to do some different things. I don't think it'll be just Dort the whole game on Ponds. They'll try to keep him out of foul trouble by mixing things up a little bit, but this is a good game for ASU. It's a good matchup for ASU because St. John's is a team that just doesn't have size at all.
I think you mentioned the Dort matchup, and it's going to be huge. Shamari Ponds, when he scores more than 20, St. John's is 11-3. When it's under 20, they're 9-8. So they're a 500 team when he doesn't contribute. They're 11-3 when he gives them 20 or more. So Lucas Dort, who was freshman all defense for the Pac-12 this year, is a key guy for ASU tonight. And as Chris Cartman noted yesterday when he was on with us, Dort needs to stay out of foul trouble tonight.
They've had intermittent problems with foul trouble all season, really. And part of it is, when you're playing seven or eight guys depth-wise, and then you have some younger players that just don't understand, you know, what they can and can't get away with at certain points in time, like that technical foul that he had against Arizona for just talking on his way back up the court, that really hurt the team, and they were able to overcome it because Remy Martin had a great game. But in this type of an environment, you got to be very careful, especially in the first half. Emotions are running high. He's an energy, you know, guy, a high wire type of a player.
And hopefully he's not too jazzed up for tonight's game, you know. So hopefully
he's playing with a little
under control, because if he's playing a little out of control and he picks up two quick ones, now you're at a disadvantage because your best defender is not going to be able to guard their best player.
No doubt.
He's got to keep it under control tonight.
There's no doubt. And that's why I think they may mix it up a little bit. But you put Dort on him to frustrate him, and the size, the athleticism that he has. And then, you know, you've got guys, you know, Cheatham's an unbelievable rebounder, and you've got size with Romello. And then the shooting, you've mentioned Edwards. They've got guys that could shoot. They've got better depth. I mean, they've got better depth. Guys coming off the bench, Kamani Lawrence and Cherry. They've got, I think that they've got better depth. I think that they've got better size. The best player is Shamari Ponds. Mm-hmm. He's the best player. And as we've seen very, very often in a lot of NCAA tournament games, sometimes one guy could just take over a game and carry a team. I mean, sometimes he can. I mean, look, I don't have Murray State winning in my game. I mean, I don't. I don't have Ja Morant winning against Marquette. You know, he's one guy. I mean, a lot of times, you know, and it goes both ways. Sometimes one guy could take over a game, but a lot of times we've seen it. DeAndre Ayton last year, Trey Young last year. You see a lot of times when that one player's not able to carry his team.
Yeah.
Because teams like, I know that I've got to get the ball out of your hands. I'm not going to let you beat me.
All year long, I thought this ASU team was just better suited to win a tournament game or two than last year's, because they just weren't so addicted to the outside shooting. I mean, last year's team was so guard-oriented. If they weren't hitting their threes, they were screwed. There was no other way for them to win basketball games other than hit a bunch of threes.
Trey Holder, Shannon Evans, Cody Justice, they had three guys. And if two of those three guys were off, they were in trouble.
And I think this year's team just has more ways to win. There's not one way they can win. I mean, we know what they have to do. Like you said, they have to rebound well. Dort has to defend well. I still believe, like you mentioned, a guy. I'm looking at Rob Edwards tonight. I'm looking at him, and I don't have the numbers to back this up, but by and large, when he shot the ball well, I think ASU has been at their best. When he struggled, I think they've struggled because they don't, other than Sherry, they don't really have that guy consistently who can step out and pop that three and kind of open things up a little bit. I think Rob Edwards needs to have a big, big game tonight. And if nothing else, the strength of ASU is the rebounding. You pointed it out in your email today. ASU, 38th in the country in rebound margin in all of college basketball. St. John's is 337th in rebound margin. You cannot give them second chance opportunities. You cannot let them rebound off misses and get into their transition. You've got to set yourself up with second chance opportunities. You can't just win the boards tonight. You've got to dominate the boards tonight if you're ASU.
Yeah, because you'll get second chance and third chance, so it does allow you to miss some shots. And if you get the offensive board, it gives you another possession. There's no question. I mean, that's the biggest advantage ASU has is St. John's doesn't have size. St. John's does have, you know, I mean, outside of Shamari Pons, the five guys will shoot the ball. Like, their guys will all shoot the ball from wherever they are. And Pons is, like, and I think he's an NBA player. He's also a playmaker, too. Like, you know, he could score on his own and will a team, but he's also a good passer. So if you put a lot of attention on him, I mean, he does get guys some easy looks and some easy baskets. I mean, these teams are familiar. They played each other last year, so there is some familiarity with them. Look, ASU, they like that it's a late game. They like that it's the late game on Wednesday. They traveled on Monday, three-hour time difference, luggage, buses. By the time you get your hotel, it's 9 at night. You don't want to play the next day. The next day, you get your legs under you. Tuesday, you get your legs under you. You get accustomed. Now you play today. And it's not the 5 o'clock game. It's the 9 o'clock game. It's the later game. So for them, too, a little extra time. So they like the way the schedule played out for them. They think out of the four games that they're in the best spot playing the late game today.
Join Bickley and Murata tomorrow. They're going to be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks off of Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101. They'll be giving you the chance to see for tickets to go see the Coyotes as they make their push for the playoffs. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for all the details you need. So, lost in all of the Kyler Murray mania, are we overlooking the one guy in this draft that should be the first overall pick? We'll discuss that on the Burns and Gambo show coming up here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Alex Avila, a lollipop for the day he had today.
Two home runs for Alex Avila. Look, I'm going to say this now. I hope he does well. I don't want him to do poorly. But if he does poorly, I don't mind calling him out. But I want him to do well. I want you to do well. I don't want you to hit 140 again.
That's give him good. A medal!
Yes. We're going to give you a medal for that take right there.
Yes.
Wait, that's good. That's that. In case he's in his car listening right now, you've covered yourself. Just
I fully
case.
Don't believe you, Gambo, but that was very nice of you.
No, but like, you're wrong. I'm not rooting against him. I don't want him to do poorly.
You got the limo pulled up, don't you?
I don't want him to do poorly. If he's on the team, I want him to do well. Now, if he sucks, he sucks. But I'm not, like, rooting for him to suck. I don't go into a season hoping guys do bad on the local teams.
No, but I think there are
but
a lot
when they do bad, I don't mind telling them they do bad.
There are people listening who when he does suck, boy, they do enjoy hearing what you
I'm
have to
sure
say about it.
I'm sure there'll be somebody
no
else
that
sucks, though. You know,
probably,
there's always somebody.
There's always somebody.
Yeah.
Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day with Sarah.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's the future of Josh Rosen question today on the Burns and Gambo show.
You know, I was going to start with a do you actually believe that Gambo wants to support Alex Avila, but you just ruined my joke, Burnsy.
Sorry.
With your adept lead in. That's okay.
Sorry. I apologize for being adept.
I'm bad at my job. Dang it. All right, here we go. Between now and the start of the 2019 regular season, guys, what's going to happen to Cardinals QB Josh Rosen? It's gone down a little bit since our 2:30 check-in. Right now, 45% of our voters say that Josh Rosen is going to be the Cardinals week one starter. 37% right now think he will get traded before or on the night of the draft. 12% say he gets traded after the draft. And then 6% say he backs up Kyler Murray week one.
Yeah, I don't think he gets traded after the draft. And I certainly don't think he's backing up Kyler Murray or Kyler Murray is backing him up. I know there are some people who are suggesting that could still be a possibility. People I respect, I know you do too. Dave Pasch was on today and suggested it again. To me, that just defeats the purpose. I mean, the purpose is not to have two first-round picks at quarterback on the roster at the same time.
That would be uncomfortable.
Yes, uncomfortable and just an alarming kind of misuse of resources, right? I mean, the whole point is to pick one or the other and then get a draft pick for Rosen and use that on something else, or keep Rosen and use the number one pick on something else that you need or want. I just don't think having both quarterbacks on the roster serves any purpose. But I don't know. We're a month and a week away from the draft, and I can't tell anymore. I can't tell anymore what I think is going to happen. Are they going to trade him? Are they not? I don't know.
Quinnen Williams is still in play from what I'm hearing. I mean, Bosa. Look, I see four scenarios. I mean, I really do. I see four scenarios. One is they take Murray. Two is they trade the pick. Three is they take Bosa. Four is they take Quinnen Williams. I mean, I think it's one of those four, right? I mean, it's take Murray, trade the pick, draft Bosa, draft Williams. I don't think that's four scenarios. And I think we could grade them as what's most likely and probably be somewhat accurate. But we don't know what they're going to do right now with, you know, a little bit more than a month ago.
I don't even know if I'd want to rank those four. You're right. Those are the four. Those are the logical conclusions.
I don't think there's any other option.
I mean, unless there's another guy they would draft number one. But it's one of those four. I wouldn't even want to rank those four possibilities right now and say which one I think is more like, which one has the best chance, the second best chance, the third best chance, and the least chance of happening. It's the Cardinals have done. I'll give them credit for this. It might annoy some people. It might be irritable because we just don't know what their plans are. But, boy, they've done a heck of a job just throwing up so many billows of smoke on this one. It's hard to know what their true intentions are.
Okay, the only time they threw up smoke themselves was when Steve Keim was asked, is Josh Rosen your quarterback? And he said, yeah, he is for now. There's been no other smoke.
No.
It's the silence, the deafening silence.
Okay, but that's smoke. I mean, that still is.
But not their smoke.
Not like, their smoke.
The only smoke they threw up, and that's all they needed to do to get this train rolling. Like, it's a gigantic snowball on the top of a hill, and Steve Keim just gave it that little push, and now it's full steam ahead. You know, I mean, he is for now. That's all he needed to do. But they've been silent about everything, and they haven't said a word, and everything's been speculation, and nothing has got out about trading Rosen or other teams calling about Rosen or that they're going to take nothing. So the smoke screens have been created by a lot of other people. But I will say, he kind of got that going with just that little nudge right there. He's our quarterback for now.
And it doesn't even matter to me really who started it necessarily. It exists. The smoke exists. It is almost impossible to see through it to try to figure out what the Cardinals are going to do. Take Quinnen Williams, for example. He had his pro day yesterday. Didn't do anything. He let his numbers stand from the combine because they were very, very good numbers. Bucky Brooks on the NFL Network unveiling his new mock draft. He flipped him. He's now got Kyler. He's got Kyler Murray number one to the Cardinals. He says the number two guy in the draft for him is Quinnen Williams.
I mean, San Francisco needs juice too. You got some juice left over at number two?
Got a little bit to squeeze out. How about we find Quinnen Williams and we're going to put him inside and we're going to let him be the inside playmaker for the 49ers. This is what they had when they had Justin Smith and Aldon Smith years ago. I think they recreated with Williams teaming with D4.
This should never be a criteria for who you take in the draft, but if you're just going by looking at the roster right now as it stands, straight need, best player available at that position as it relates to what you need on your roster, it's Quinnen Williams. Their defensive line is so thin right now.
Totally.
So thin right
now. Totally. But their linebackers are set right now, but does it mean they're set next year? What if Terrell Suggs is a one-year guy? What if Reddick doesn't develop into a really good player? Chandler Jones is a year older. So by getting Bosa, you do secure that position for the future.
No doubt. But I was talking about the roster right now.
Yes.
Wide receiver, yes, but there's not a wide receiver worthy of being the number one pick overall in the draft. Quinnen Williams is worthy of being the number one pick in this draft. And if you're just going by straight need, man, that's the guy the Cardinals need, but you can't just pick off of that. And everybody knows you can't pick off of that.
If they draft him, he'll play nose tackle and defensive end in the 3-4. Both players are considered a good fit by them. Both are dominant. They do love them both. Bosa's body of work is more impressive than Williams' one big year. So Bosa's overall body of work is more impressive than just the one great year that Williams had. Now, Bosa would play outside linebacker the way Chubb did for Vance Joseph. Williams, again, nose tackle and defensive end. Both of the guys would be a good fit. Can't go wrong with either one. But if you're saying, right now, what's a better need? Clearly, the defensive line is a better need. Clearly. And that's not close. They're set at linebacker. They're not set at defensive line.
Quinnen Williams was asked after his pro day if he thinks he's the best player in the draft.
Missed a lot of great guys in his defensive line group, like Christian Wilkinson, Dexter Lawrence, Ed Oliver, a lot of guys who got great performance. But I feel like I have a lot of stuff that's better than those guys, a lot of attributes that's better than those guys. My IQ level is higher than those guys, so I feel like I'm one of the best defensive tackles in this group.
The amazing thing to me about Quinnen Williams, a year ago, Nick Saban had invited a bunch of juniors to pro day so they could kind of give these scouts a little taste of what might be coming up a year from now. He didn't even invite Quinnen Williams a year ago.
It's an unbelievable story.
Quinnen Williams wasn't.
A year ago, he was not even thought of that highly because he was 20 pounds lighter.
Yep, he was making a position switch, so he was in the middle of gaining that weight. Nick Saban didn't even think that was one of his best juniors on his roster to show off to the NFL people. And here he is, potentially the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what happens. I mean, you can't, sometimes kids are late bloomers. And by him adding those 20 pounds and getting, and he dominated. I mean, he dominated college football this year. Yeah, a year ago, he was an afterthought. This year, he's one of the top two defensive players, and sometimes that's what happens. Kids get motivated, they get bigger, they get stronger, they get faster, and then they dominate. This isn't unusual. This does happen quite a bit.
Bickley and Murata tomorrow are going to be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks off of Frank Lloyd Wright and the 101, giving you the chance to win tickets to go see the Coyotes as they're making their push for the playoffs. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com. For complete details. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, the defensive switch back to the 3-4 has one big-time supporter on the Cardinals roster. We'll tell you about that coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show. Burns and Gambo show here on this Wednesday afternoon on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thank you for hanging out with us. You can count Chandler Jones as it's so fun. I have to laugh at this because new head coach comes in, Steve Wilks, a year ago, and you hear all these players, oh, man, I love this system. The system's awesome. The system's great. The system's going to be just what I was looking for, just what we need. I think it's going to fit our skill set so well. After 1 year, Steve Wilks is out as head coach. Go back to the 3-4 system, and now you've got Patrick Peterson talking about how badly he missed the 3-4 system. Now you've got Chandler Jones, who told the Arizona Cardinals website, quote, "All I know is the last time I played outside linebacker, I led the NFL in sacks."
Yep.
Close quote.
What do you have? How many, 17 that year?
17 sacks, 28 tackles for loss, 33 quarterback hits in 2017, playing as an outside linebacker as opposed to a defensive end in a 4-3.
Yeah, this is – they ran a 4-2-5 last year, okay? And that's the difference last year is there's going to be more corners now than safeties on the field. In the system that they run. But the 4-2-5 was a disaster, and it just was. It was, and we talked about this all season long. It was like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole because it didn't fit the personnel that you had. It didn't fit the personnel that you had. And it took guys like Reddick and Dayon Buchanan off the field because you were just playing with the two linebackers, and it was, Josh Bynes did a good job for them, but then they had to put Hodges out there for a while, and they were just struggling to find the right mix of players to fit that 4-2-5. So going back to a 3-4 makes a lot of sense. They've got the four linebackers now. They've got to work on getting an interior defensive lineman. I agree. I'm checking on a bunch of those names you gave me yesterday. I think you mentioned Muhammad Wilkerson and Danny Shelton and guys like that.
Urban was another one. Of course, bringing back Rodney Gunter is another name that I really hope they're able to find a way to bring him back. The team, we just got done talking about Quinnen Williams a minute ago. The team is very, very thin on the defensive line. They're going to need six bodies to kind of rotate around, right, on the defensive line. And right now, outside of Corey Peters, you know, Kim Dichi, who knows when he's going to be available? Who knows how effective he is when he comes back? Everybody else they have on the defensive line, there's nobody that you're going to want to bank on. Nobody that you're going to so that's obviously going to be a need in this, and that's the one downfall of going back to a 3-4 is that you kind of spent a year building towards a 4-3. Now you have to undo all that and find the kind of defensive line that you're used to finding, and they haven't gotten a real good jump on that. But you can just see whether it's Chandler Jones, whether it's Patrick Peterson, these defensive guys just feel more at home in this 3-4 system, and they're excited about it. They're excited because they know they can produce in this system the way they used to produce.
I'm not saying it scares me, but remember the things that they were saying about Steve Wilkes' system last year when they came into. So, you know, the guys were always going to say that, but the success didn't come early enough, and that's when you knew, okay, it doesn't work.
That's the difference, is that at least, okay, yeah, you're right. Guys talk. Guys say nice things. You know, Patrick Peterson said nice things last year. They all said nice things about the 4-3. The proof is in the pudding, as the cliche goes. Mm-hmm. And the pudding is the success they had as a 3. That's basically what Chandler Jones is saying here to azcardinals.com, right?
Yes.
Last time I checked, I was an outside linebacker. I led the league in sacks.
I killed it.
You know, yeah. The proof's in the pudding. You don't have that kind of evidence with the 4-3.
But listen, the other thing, too, is, and you know, you've commented on this, but the additions that they've made to this defense, it hasn't been the offense that has seen major additions. The offensive lines has gotten a major upgrade. But the defense, I mean, they brought in Alford, so that's, you know, that's a secondary guy. They brought in, you know, Terrell Suggs, you know, who's a linebacker. So you look at a lot of the things that they've done. They brought in Brooks Reed to come play in this system,
yep,
as well. A lot of the guys, then you add Hicks, and I'm just going on and on. So Alford and Suggs and Reed and Hicks, and I'm probably missing a couple other guys. I'm just going top of my head right now. But they've added a lot of players that they think are going to fit this defense. Players that they feel really good about. These guys can fit this defense. And that's what they're doing. Because I think that they really want to just give Vance Joseph what he needs. You know, here's what I need. I need you to go get that. And then they'll address, you know, Kingsbury, they'll address a lot of what Cliff needs as far as the wide receivers and stuff, probably in the draft. They did give him a tight end in Charles Clay.
Yep.
They did add three new offensive linemen. They added Sweezy. They added Gilbert. They added Max Garcia. So they've added some offensive linemen to kind of upgrade the offensive line, which needed a lot of help. But I think the main thing is that you could see that they've switched the personnel with the defense. Look how many guys from that defense are gone from last year. Look at a lot of guys are gone from that defense.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
oh,
Antoine, yeah. Bethea's gone. Deion Buchanan's gone. Marcus Golden's gone. They made a lot of Josh Bynes is gone. They made a lot of changes to that defense. So I think that's why it's going to be a little bit easier to switch over to Vance's D.
All right, speaking of switching, we switch gears now to a rumor that could very well impact what the Arizona Cardinals do at number one and kind of impact their options, both good and bad. Jason LaConfora of CBS reported today, and this part we knew, okay? Reported today, the Jets have let it be known that New York is open for business with the number 3 overall pick, and that given their history, they could very well complete a swap involving that pick way before the draft. I think the Darnold trade came down way, way before the draft last year, or at least the trade to move up to number 3. Yeah, remember? I did. I remember it happened way before the draft because we were trying to figure out which quarterback they wanted, right? Which of the guys do you want?
We knew that they didn't want any guy in particular. We knew that they just wanted to put themselves in a position to get one of the guys.
Right. So
they'll get one of the guys.
They made
which
that
one
deal
they don't know, but they're going to get one of the guys.
Nice and early, and LaConfora is suggesting they could do it again, and that number 3 from the Jets this year could be for sale. He is reporting that Washington is already among the teams kind of sniffing around for the number 3 pick. They feel like they have to get ahead of the New York Giants in order to get Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. Now, the Jets, would they want to fall all the way down to 15? LaConfora says they would because he believes, he's been told, there are 12 to 14 first-round guys who aren't quarterbacks and that the Jets could get one of them if they fell all the way back to 15. Might be a little dicey, but they could get somebody that they had a first-round grade on if they moved all the way back to 15. if the Redskins were to move up to number three to take Dwayne Haskins, there are dominoes that fall that could impact the Arizona Cardinals and what kind of deal they make at number one, or what they do at number one, or what they do with Josh Rosen. That changes everything, especially for the New York Giants.
It does, because, you know, and I was saying this yesterday, I mean, the Giants could go into this thinking, okay, we're going to get Haskins at six, we're going to get Haskins at six, and if we don't get Haskins, okay, then we could look at options, because everybody's got a plan. Plan one might be to get Haskins. Plan two might be, if we don't get Haskins, we should call the Cardinals and see if they want to trade Rosen. You know, if they'd be willing to. Now, by the time that pick comes, you know, the only way that happens, you know, you got to try to work this out a little bit beforehand. The Cardinals have to say, we're taking Murray. But the way I put it is, if New England wants to trade with the Cardinals for Rosen, say the Cardinals are going to take Murray, New England wants to trade, but the Giants tell you, don't trade with New England unless we know, because if we don't get Haskins, we'll give you 17. If we get him, then trade with New England. So that's where the waiting game comes in a little bit, and why there's a possibility that it doesn't last until the draft. Because if the Giants get jumped and somebody takes Haskins, well, then they've got a choice to make. Do we get a quarterback in the second round? Do we try to trade for Rosen? Do we wait till next year? And if they are interested in Rosen, and there seems to be a lot of indications that at least they like Rosen based on last year's evaluations,
yeah,
then I think that that's something, you know, you talk about with them. And, okay, we've got trade offers for Rosen, but the 17th pick would be a lot better. So if you don't get Haskins, we would take that pick over anything else we've been discussing with other teams.
So if you believe all these rumors, the Arizona Cardinals no longer want him. But again, that is just based off of rumors. If they're true, do they need to trade Josh Rosen before he and the whole situation becomes just too big of a distraction? Some are saying the answer is yes. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.